because, and to me, that show, just watching those promos and watching Mick Foley, watching Jeff Jarrett, watching Kurt Angle, watching Jim Cornette, and what a pack of losers TNA is. That they won't fight back. Can you imagine if the Minnesota Vikings coach, all he talked about was, all the players from Minnesota talked about was why they left the Green Bay Packers and how they wanted and what their relationship was with the Green Bay Packers coach and how they either were mad at him or he was the biggest thing, he was the biggest thing ever. That they put over other people's players, mm-hmm. and they were scared of the other players. And all they talked about was how they respected them, how great they were. And that's what I think just watching that show. And they'll never get it.
Well, Mick
Foley right there too.
I think part of the rationale for it is there's still a Godfather type aspect to Vince McMahon. And you know they're not really in a fight because they haven't been paying attention because they think if you say anything bad about Vince, he'll remember and get you back. So what it shows is, A, a lack of confidence in TNA's long-term future because everybody's angling to try to get that main event WrestleMania slot, and there's that super card when Vince buys them out for all this money and they cash in. And two, they don't know history because it's actually the opposite with Vince. That Sable sued him for $200 billion, and they brought her back. And Eric Bischoff said all the meanest things possible and almost put Vince out of business.
That is like, why aren't they, instead of like whatever, to play your cards right to get back, why don't you compete against the guy?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, there are people, and it's their fans. It's that 1.0, 1.1 rating, and it's whoever buys their pay-per-view and whoever steals their pay-per-view online and whoever goes to their shows and who's in that impact zone, they wouldn't be watching them if they didn't want to see somebody compete with Vince. They didn't like pro wrestling,
yep.
and weren't at least entirely happy with WWE.
Yep.
And a lot of them want to see somebody do that, and you could just see it. And it's just, they're out there, ooh, you said something bad about Vince McMahon. I'm going to show this to you because he's the biggest figure in the industry. And that'll be terrible. And that'll really take you off. And it's just like, it's like the relationship, whether it's love or hate, the most important thing is your relationship with the guy that owns the other company.
Yeah.
You'll always lose that way.
Yeah.
You'll always lose. You should act like that you've got a better product. You should act like you're happy to be there instead of Mick Foley, even Mick Foley doing the, oh, I'm kind of happy to be here. Mm-hmm. But then start talking about where you came from.
Yeah, and those of you watching the debate instead of this show, because Biden and Palin, of course, are more exciting than the X Division Championship match. There's that inferiority complex that permeates that also.
It's just you know, like watching that, and it's like, and I'm watching that, and again, Jeff Jarrett is delusional. I mean, the guy's delusional. I'm sitting there watching that, and I've seen
that.
Him from the beginning of his career. I got somewhere in my tape collection, literally the first time he walked out,
yeah.
And he's going, it was so tough for me to make it.
Oh.
He was a talent. He was a talented guy from the beginning,
yep.
In the right place, in a place where you could be. And I was so skinny. It's like he was in a promotion where they push skinny guys because one of the promoters was this thin little guy who always gave little thin guys a chance. His father,
yeah.
And he was pushed as a special deal from the very beginning. They beat him up from the very beginning and put the heat on him and talked about what guts he had from the beginning.
Yep.
And he's had that. And, yeah, he made it in the wrestling business, except he didn't make it except he looks like he's a failure in the sense of where he sees himself as a top star. He sees himself as some sort of icon that comes back and sets things straight, like Bill Watts or whatever it is. He's wrong. And then 6 years, nobody ever thought we'd last for 6 years. Well, you know what? I could run a wrestling business. Anybody else could run a wrestling business for 6 years. If someone covered all of our losses. I mean, and I'm not even saying, I don't even mean like me, like whatever set of, talent or no talent I'd bring to run a wrestling company. But I mean, if somebody could run any company, if someone was covering your losses and they've got for 6 years and they've got somebody covering their losses.
Yeah.
And it's not like they haven't grown. I mean, it's like you're
right.
Sitting there watching it going.
They've accomplished some things that I think you should.
Yeah, they have
taken
some
credibility.
But I mean, I'm talking about what the creative stuff, the stuff that he brings to that creative stuff, and he's sitting there saying it, and And then they're putting over this McMahon. Ooh, I didn't want to put this out there because it might hurt you.
Yeah.
Because the guy, I didn't want to show this because, and even that, you know, he shouldn't have shown it because it looked like Kurt Angle throwing a hissy fit. But your big tough guy, all mad and his feelings hurt about, you know, about this stuff. But instead of, you know, we're going to go out there and kick your ass. We're going to put on a better product. We're going to grow because we're going to look at what you're not doing and we're going to learn from it. And instead, you know, the week before, whatever it was, when Sting did that interview, you know, it's just more evidence. I mean, Sting did that interview about his career, and he was pretty good at it, except that the interview's written, about his career, and he goes, you know, Blanchard and Anderson and whatever else it was, and Ric Flair, except for here's this guy on television, he's talking about Ric Flair, my mentor. Well, on TV for 20 years, Ric Flair was your arch rival. Who you either beat up and took things from, who was cheating is what, who you were better than, who was cheating you out of stuff all the time.
Well, he was in the Four Horsemen briefly.
Yeah, he was in Four Horsemen, and Ric Flair beat him up in the Four Horsemen too.
Yeah, I know. No, this is the thing. It's a bigger issue there's another issue besides the worshiping Vince McMahon and acting subservient and scared. And not standing up to the big guy. And the other aspect of it is just the shattering of kayfabe and the Russo-esque style of scripting Sting to talk about something that nobody saw. People read about it. A few thousand people read about it at the time in newsletters, and now more people have read about it online or in books. But it's still a fraction of the audience, and it's not what people care about. I know almost nothing about comic books, but imagine if there was some forum where comic book people were rewriting the history of Spider-Man by talking about the insider aspects of art of feuds between marketers and people who did the art.
Oh, you mean how Steve Ditko, the original artist of Spider-Man, got no credit and no money and basically is broke now, even though he's about 90 years old, and how the guy that created the two guys that created the Fantastic Four ended up fighting over everything. Yeah, well, that's all true. Jack Kirby and Stan Lee.
If that was worked into some sort of a current comic book with the same characters talking about things that only a fraction know about behind the scenes, like some guy saying, like Spider-Man saying to Superman, just to dumb it down, because I can't do this intelligently. Spider-Man says to Superman, your artist in 1986 was inferior to my artist in 1987, but you had a money backer who bought him out and started drawing me, or started drawing you when the artist was stolen from me. Whatever. I mean, it would just sound ridiculous in the context of a comic book. And TNA doesn't get that, and Vince Russo doesn't get that. Vince Russo was so – it was this moment in his life when he became an insider fan that he will never get over, and it defines his life, it seems.
Well, I mean, that was the part I was about to say was, in the story, it's Sting's story about why, whatever it is about respect and all that crap, that backstage bullshit. But it's like Sting's story that he's telling about his career, and then out of nowhere in this non sequitur, if you're into Sting, and if you're into this, you're into Sting's story, and you're trying to make money off of Sting, and Samoa Joe, or, you know, you're trying to make money off of this dude, and Sting's going, and Sting has to throw in the line about how Hulk Hogan is the greatest wrestler ever. And it's like, because Vince Russo is a mark. And it's not whether Hulk Hogan is the greatest wrestler. It's not whether he is or he's not. Let's say he is. In reality, let's say he is. He's the biggest draw. He's the greatest wrestler ever. It's not that. Sting's story, Sting's character was on TV all those years. He didn't come up against Hulk Hogan, and when he did, Hulk Hogan was a cheating veteran heel with a bunch of guys surrounded by him who was keeping him for the world title unfairly.
Yeah.
And it's like, why would he say that he wasn't in the promotion, and it wasn't a big part of his career when Hogan was Hulk Hogan in the 80s and drawing all over the place and all that. It wasn't something that the Sting character would say, but the guy writing it can't help himself, he has to put it in there, because in the war between the NWA and WWF, when he was a fan, he was on the side of the WWF.
Yeah.
It would be like writing a Randy Savage promo, if Randy Savage is still around, and having him say, and having him say that Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen were the best bad guys or something. And because it's like it's not his story, and it's not Sting's story. You have to throw it in there, and it hurts the ability for fans who would be into it to not be into it, because all the people that cared about Sting are going, well, Sting wouldn't say that. That's BS. But, I mean, even that one. But it's like, you're going, I mean, it's just the Jeff Jarrett thing in the beginning. And it was like, I'm going to embarrass you, like trying to make a personal issue so they can have a match. And then I brought you in and I hired you. It's just like, well, you just gave away the story. Not that a lot of them don't know it, because I think people do know. Word does spread real fast about.
All right, that concludes the 5-minute free clip of today's VIP audio show. If you're interested in having access to the complete audio shows that run between 10 minutes up to sometimes an hour, 15 minutes each, just click on the VIP sign-up info button in the upper left corner of the screen at pwtorch.com on any page, right under our logo. And you can get more details on all the features you get with a VIP membership, including around 50 VIP exclusive audio shows per month start to finish, along with a lot more ad-free access to the site, the PW Torch Today PDF bulletins that come out most days that I write with the breaking news and analysis, and so much more. Hundreds of back issues from the Torch newsletter, both in text and PDF format now, and a lot more. Just check out the whole list of VIP features. It costs $7.50 per month to become a member. It is cheaper if you subscribe for longer term. And we also have an availability of paper copy subscriptions to the Torch newsletter, where you can have it delivered to your doorstep, all 15 pages every week, with news, analysis, exclusive columns, interviews, and more. And with the newsletter subscription, it's about 75 cents more per week to get the newsletter delivered to your home, but you get all the other online VIP benefits along with that. So basically, it's just cost of postage and printing we pass along to you. Otherwise, it doesn't really matter to us either way which option you choose. But if you'd like to get that 16-page paper copy delivered to your door, you might want to check out that option. Otherwise, you can go with the eSub option, and I hope you'll maybe give us a try for 1 month and see what it's like to have access to the complete VIP audio shows every single day. All right, that's it for me. Until next time, on behalf of the entire Torch staff, I thank you for listening, and I sign off.